Blog Talk Radio.
We used to be number 10. Now we permanently one in the battle of my finger. Might be in my arm, pips and eyes with the nasal. Blood becomes too warm, tell us. Come on, be easy now, squeeze this summer. That's why cleft, see that flesh get scorned. You too bad, make me feel like you ain't wanting to be born, John. And tell your friends, say that hell like my lord. Chicken swords, you can get swords and then chicken from my phone.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the dead kitchen. If you're my theosis, then I'm bringing all hate to Sicilian. Nobody. My body made a hand grenade. Girl bled to death while she was shrunk and send the razor blade. That sounds sick, maybe one day I'll write the horror. Black in a country together, Jack and Acura. Stevie Wonder, see crack babies. Becoming enemies with their own families. I'ma get them coming up when we soon done. Gun by my side just in case I got the rum. A boy on the side of Babylon trying to front like you're down with Mount Zion.
Welcome to another episode of Table Talk with T. Hope everybody's doing good. I see everyone logging into the chat room and a lot of people on hold listening in. That ending was kind of funny. I didn't know we were going to do all that. We need to get organized. That's the truth. So Ronan is here joining me. How are you doing tonight, Ronan?
I'm good. Good to be back. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. It's been a long, gosh, we haven't had a show in like, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
It's been a long 2 weeks, but no, I'm doing good. We're having a lot of audio issues the last few shows, so hopefully we won't have any tonight. Hopefully there won't be no drama with what we're going to talk about. Why did Jamal just hit me on Facebook talking about he's on the bus, so he can't make it to the chat room? I sent him the phone number. I said, call in and listen in.
Oh, man.
So he'll probably be coming in here extra late. So anyways, it's been a crazy week. I can't believe how fast this week went. It's tomorrow's Friday already. It's like we just flew by, but the fuckery did not take a rest. So as you guys all know, I had posted on Facebook earlier this morning, Wade Robson finally came out and spoke on the whole Michael Jackson situation, and a lot of people are weighing in online. A lot of people are saying that they believe Wade. Others are saying they don't believe him. Some people are upset. So it's just a lot of crazy things going on. I had initially did the video when he first accused Michael Jackson, and I stated my thoughts, and then now he's speaking on it. And a lot of people say that, you know, he does seem like he's telling the truth. You know, something might have happened, and a lot of times with victims, sometimes you hold on to things and you don't want to acknowledge them or admit to it, you know, as a coping mechanism. And now that he's older and, you know, now that Michael Jackson's dead, it seems like all of a sudden he's more comfortable speaking on it. But I guess what gets me is the whole money aspect. You know, there's really nothing they can do to Michael Jackson because he's dead, he's gone. And if you really want to get your story told and if you really want to say, okay, that he molested you and you want everybody to know this, and if it really happened, then just, you know, just tell the story, get counseling, and then move on. But I think to try and sue the estate or try and get money, that part doesn't sit well with me. Because if somebody molested me and they did something to hurt me and they put me through so much trauma, I don't care about your money. I want to see you in jail. So how did you feel when you first heard about the story, Ronan?
I had mixed feelings about it. On one hand, I wonder why all this time he could have admitted like perjury more than once, I want to say twice. And
right.
It's just all about the timing about this. Like now, 4 years after dude passed away, you could have said this, you know, at any time. And then, you know, you figure you had a good counselor. But then I think about it like when, in some aspects, when more than enough people said something about you, you got to wonder. So.
Right.
I scratched my head at that one, but then, like, mainly for right now, like, why is this dude to come out of nowhere? Just the timing's kind of bad. It looks like it's trying to be a little money hustle, but this is, like, some dirty way to do it, though.
Right. I mean, like, when I watched the interview, like, I felt his emotion, you know, and it seemed, to me, it did seem kind of genuine, but like you said, why wait so long? And you were under oath several times, and you said that he did not touch you. I mean, it's like, what's next? Is Macaulay Culkin going to come out and say that he was touched as well? And like you said, when people say the same thing about you for years, you know what I mean, the Home Alone kid, when people say the same thing about you for years and years, after a while, you got to give the side eye. You know, and I think, too, that Michael is somewhat responsible for that rumor spreading because of his actions. Because there's just certain things that as an adult you don't do, even if you have the purest intentions. People can be, they can take your purest intentions and make them very sinister. And I think with him, you know, constantly being around children and inviting children to his home and then him admitting on that Martin Bashir interview that he allowed kids to sleep in his bed, you know, and he'd be in the bed with them, whereas in a lot of cultures, that's normal. That's not a big deal, you know, to sleep in the bed with your parents or, you know, people sharing beds. Not everybody has their own room, so that's not a big deal. But in America, people take that as, you know, that kind of plants a seed in people's heads. So a lot of people are like, okay, well, you're sharing a bed with a boy that's not your child. That's not cool. There's too much room for error there. You know, and I think that he kind of set himself up for the okey-doke. You know, you just can't do certain things, especially, you know, in our generation, it's always about molestation and child abuse and things that they weren't talking about in the 60s and 70s. It's out there in the open today. So I don't know why Wade took so long. I felt like if it was really a situation, he should have came out earlier. But a lot of victims don't come out and tell their story. You know, a lot of people don't realize that it's molestation or that it's inappropriate until they get older and they think back to certain things and certain times. So I can kind of put myself in his shoes and understand why. But again, it just makes me question him because you were under oath several times and you didn't say anything. And I think, was that Sean who brought up a good point on Facebook? Sean said that's no different than somebody saying that they saw a murder. but then they didn't want to say anything. You know, they kept saying that that person didn't kill anybody, and then they come out 10 years later talking about, well, that person did kill somebody. Well, you basically, you know, okayed a murderer to go free. So why would you okay a supposed child molester to go free and then be able to molest other children?
Yeah. It looks kind of bad when you look at it. I mean, that testimony could have changed someone's life for the better, or justice could have been served, so they believe it. But then, and like you, when you wait, I mean, after all this time, it really looks bad on your end, really bad.
Right. And VH1 Access is in the chat room. He's saying that Michael's ex-maid did a new interview. He had posted on my page. And basically, she's reiterating the whole situation. She's the one who said that she had initially witnessed Michael Jackson taking a shower with Wade. And basically, she walked in there, and their drawers were on the floor, and it was real steamy, and she heard them giggling and everything else. And, you know, no grown man should take a shower with a child, period. No adult should be showering with the child. I mean, unless it's your child and the child is, like, a certain age, like, you know, one, maybe no older than two. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, a 9-10-year-old, hell no. You don't do that, especially if it's somebody else's child. So the maid is now coming out with her story once again. So I just feel like it's just kind of crazy how it's like this man is not going to be able to get no peace. It's like even in death he can't get any peace.
No, but, I mean, but here's the thing I'm bothered about, because it seems like there's a whole lot of selective empathy out here. If it isn't the nonsense of Chicago, you know, you have people going ham on Michael Jackson, but no one has said anything about Roman Polanski or any of these other characters who've been doing child molestation or something like that. And no one has, you haven't heard a fucking peep about that. But you keep hearing Chris Brown in the news. You keep hearing the same old characters in the news, but then the ones who are really out there doing it or get a pass from it, you don't hear nothing.
Right, and Roman Polanski is a straight-up molester. Yeah. He was messing with that girl when she was 13, and then he fled to France. They haven't expedited him, or, you know, whatever the word is, but they haven't made him come back to the U.S. They haven't done any of that. It's like he's still out here free, and everybody has proof that he raped and he molested that 13-year-old girl, you know, but it's like they ignore that fact. And other people are saying in the chat room, VH1 Access is saying that the maid stated that Michael Jackson and his people threatened her when she came out with the initial story. Devin is saying that he still feels that Wade is wrong because if Michael Jackson did touch him, then he basically helped him get off of that crime and allowed him to be able to molest other children, you know, which is what I agree with, because you got to think about that, you know, that's for any crime. If you're a witness to a crime and you know, I understand the whole don't snitch and, you know, don't tell and stuff like that, but you're leaving room open for somebody else to be victimized.
Well,
and that's what I don't agree with.
Well, here's the thing with that, and I agree with that, because, like, what I understand is money can buy freedom. It can buy you. It can buy you an innocent conviction, knowing when you're damn well guilty. It can buy individuals who can make things go away. So I can't sit there and absolve it. No, hell no, Michael didn't do anything. Again, Hollyweird is Hollyweird for many reasons. And
exactly.
So I really can't dismiss it. The best thing that one of the many things that George Carlin has told me, that, like, one of the great comedians that passed away.
Oh, I was listening to him last night, Ronan.
Yeah. And he's wise beyond the years. And he said, like, you know, always question everything. Why? Yep. Like, when Michael Jackson did the interviews, you know, talking about climbing trees, not arrested development, you know, my father beat me and all that stuff, and
I remember he always said that he considered himself Peter Pan. And from what people say, Peter Pan is some type of, I don't know, some type of Greek god or something that was over children. It's something sinister about Peter Pan. Somebody broke it down on my YouTube page and I was reading it.
Well, I heard about what you're talking about, and it's real, real dark when you look at the history of Peter Pan and all that. So you just kind of, like, give everything that's been put out there to side, like, I don't know, just like when you see Chris Bosh doing some suspects things, you're like, did I really see that? Just, yeah, I mean, like, your intuition, like, really starts kicking up on certain things, and it's happened a few times with Mike and then some other people, but still, I look at both sides, and I'm like, personally, both of them are fucked up. I'm going to record and say that.
But you're right, though, you know, as far as, like, money can buy you freedom.
Yeah.
If that was anybody else, you know, you have innocent people who haven't done anything, and they're going in jail for 10, 15 years. You know, you have people who are guilty, but if they have money, they're, you know, they're free to just roam around, and it's crazy. And Sean is saying that he wanted to kill his brother, that other people are saying that the Michael Jackson estate threatened the maid, Wade, and a few other people as well. The thing is, at the end of the day, I feel like because I have been a victim of molestation, you guys know that, you know, I've been through a lot, and I really believe in karma. You know, even if you're not able to get justice, because the person who did that to me, you know, I kept that inside for a long time. That's something I stored away. And that fucks with you. Like it fucks with your relationships. It fucks with how you see your body. It really, really messes with you because I know I have one of my subscribers. He's a male subscriber, and he was molested by his stepfather. And me and him still talk every now and then, and it really takes a toll on you. And, you know, even if you're not able to get, you know, like criminal justice where that person gets locked up and stuff like that, I feel like karma does come back to get that person. Because I remember, I don't know if you ever watched the video I had did on the whole Bishop Eddie Long thing. Remember when I got kicked off of Facebook because I was going in on Eddie Long?
Yeah.
And that's when I admitted to, you know, what had happened to me. And the person who had did that to me when I was 8, you know, we ended up moving away. And that's just something I just kind of kept in the back of my head. I didn't talk about it. And later on it came out, I mean, years down the road. Like, I found out in, like, 2007. So you figure almost 20 years later, one of my family members is asking me about that neighbor. And she was like, do you remember, you know, your neighbor such and such? And it's like I just got chills going up and down my body because I hadn't thought about him in years, but I definitely remember him because of what he did to me. And she was like, yeah, it was in the paper that he got killed. And I'm like, what? And then when they told me he got killed because he had got charged for molesting another girl. I guess he had been in and out of jail molesting kids and stuff like that. Well, he molested the wrong kid, and one of the family members ended up shooting him, and he caught a bullet to the head. So, you know, I just feel like that was karma, you know what I mean, for everything he put me through and other kids through. So even if you don't get your justice, things can come back to bite people. You know, I feel like when you mess with a child's innocence, when you take something from a child, that's like the worst thing you can do to a person. You know, it's easy to just say, shake it off, get over it, you're grown now. But it really does. It really takes a toll on the things that you do in life, your relationships, the things that you go through, you know, how you see yourself. You blame yourself for a lot of things. And so it's crazy. So that's why I can kind of see where Wade is coming from, you know, with kind of like keeping it in, because it took me a long time before I was able to really talk about it, you know, and it's crazy sometimes what people put, you know, children through. But with that being said, I think that situation also helped to make me stronger. And that's why I'm so adamant. Like when I do my videos and I talk about, you know, teachers sleeping with students and adults taking advantage of kids, that pisses me off. Because as an adult, you know how fucked up this world is. Kids don't.
Yeah.
Kids still have blinders on until they're about 17. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't realize how fucked up the world is. So they have the rest of their lives to, you know, to go through all the trials and tribulations and to have sex. There's no reason for an adult to take their innocence from a child. And I just think that's, like, the most disgusting thing that you can do to another human being is to take their innocence. You know, and I don't know if Michael Jackson molested this boy, but, again, we don't know nobody. You never truly know someone. And I just can't be that type of person because of what I've been through in my history that I can just say that, oh, I believe 100% he didn't do it. I don't know that man from a can of paint. I have his CDs. I listen to his music all the time, but I can't say that he didn't do something. That's not my job to say that somebody did not touch somebody else's child. I wasn't there, and nobody else was. And even if Wade is doing it for the money or trying to get paid, then that would be Wade's karma. If he's making this up and he's lying, then Wade needs to expect that karma will come back to bite him in the ass too, because there's nothing worse to me than making false allegations on someone, be it molestation or be it rape. Just like with them ratchet bitches who lied about Brian and said that, remember the boy that ended up going to prison, the girl lied and said that he raped her. And then it came out that he did not rape her, and her mom spent all that money and everything else.
Yeah.
That's something else I loathe. I hate a liar. And especially when you do something so disgusting as to lie and say that you were raped or you really were not raped. So as you guys know from watching my videos, those are like the main things I love is people who lie about rape, because there are real women out here like myself and many others who have really been raped, and people who lie about molestation. So I'm hoping Wade is not lying. You know what I'm saying? Even though that will make Michael Jackson's image tarnished. But I'm not about to sit here and have somebody's back that I don't know. Point blank. I'm going to need your dog to get his life.
No. No, I got her together.
While he's barking in the background.
No, she's cool. She's just pretty much keeping the stairs up. She's keeping the perimeters clear, so.
She's on dog duty.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so what do you think? I mean, what do you think about the whole karma thing? You know, because you know a lot of kids who have been touched and molested and who have been through stuff, you know, but they don't always get their day in trial, you know, in court. They don't always get to see the molesters, you know, go to trial. Because some people take their situation, they bottle it up.
I know about it personally because it's happened twice. And it doesn't happen all the time. I mean, it doesn't a resolution doesn't come about, like, overnight sometimes. It took about 20 or so years to really get through that stuff. One was never heard from again. The other one was something happened to them, but I can't even remember what happened. But still, that takes quite a bit of time, even with therapy, to get through that. Because some people are, you know, their perspective is, like, sometimes changed horribly because of situations like that. So I do believe that there is a sense of karma that comes from that. I mean, like, you can't go through something. You can't do something to someone and something not happen to you. But sometimes that same person who victimized a person, that person may be able to change. And even still, they may have to own up and answer and face to that. It never goes unanswered. It's just a matter of when it comes about. But again, like, there are those, I mean, something like as psychological as that, those scars take damn near a long time to heal. There's some people who are still in their 50s or 60s who still haven't healed from it. So.
Right, and that's one thing, too, you know, as far as, like, molesters, they don't change. And that's what I said in my video, and that's why I don't, I'm not a fan of Eddie Long and people who feel like they can groom children. And even the dude, the Elmo, the voice of Elmo, you know, him, like I said, I could care less about him being gay. But when you're grooming kids and you're, you know, sleeping with 16, 17-year-olds, you know what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? I just, the Catholic Church, thank you, G. Stewart. You know, it's just crazy. Like, all these people just out here who think they can take advantage of kids, and people don't change. Because what happens to these molesters is, okay, they start messing with you at, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old, and then now you're getting older. Now they're not attracted to you because now you're almost an adult. You look like an adult. So they turn their attention to somebody younger. When you think about even, like, the kids who were kidnapped, like Sean Hornbeck, when he was kidnapped, he went through a lot of sexual abuse. He got kidnapped at 8 years old. That's the boy that ended up getting, you know, he ended up turning himself in and he got away from his kidnapper. Okay. So he ended up getting molested at 8 years old. Then what ended up happening is he got to be too old for the molester because Sean Hornbeck by then was 15. So when the molester went to go kidnap the other little boy, Sean was like, I have to say something. Because of everything he went through, he didn't want to see another kid go through that. And that's the same thing if you guys have ever seen that movie called I Know My First Name is Steven. Have you ever heard of that movie? Anybody in the chat room? It's a movie from the 80s. It's a boy that was kidnapped, and then he ended up coming back. He was kidnapped by Joseph Purnell, and he was molested, and he lived with Purnell for like 10 years. And then when he got too old, Purnell went to go kidnap another little boy. I think his name was Timmy White or something like that. And then that's when Steven came forward as well and basically, you know, was like, I'm Steven, I was kidnapped, da-da-da, he kidnapped another kid. So that's what happens with a lot of these molesters. So as these kids get older, they're not attracted to them anymore. So they have to go for the next younger victim. So that's why I say, in my opinion, child molesters don't change. If you're attracted to someone, it's not going to be fixed overnight or even being in jail, you know, and I just think the whole situation is sick. Like, I can't give anybody a pass because, like I said, I don't know Michael. You know, I hope he didn't do it, and I hope he was just, you know, one of those. I just hope he was just kind of, you know, just had a childlike mentality, as people like to say. You know, I would just hate to think that he was molesting children. I would hate to think the worst of him because I'm a huge fan of his. But I'm not going to put anything past anybody I don't know. Point blank. It could be family. I'm not putting it past, past nobody.
Well, speaking of taking a long time to change, glad you mentioned that because since we haven't had a show in 2 weeks, I want to know your thoughts and everyone's thoughts on the Antoine Dawson become a Hebrew Israelite. And for those who don't know who this individual is,
y'all know who Antoine is.
Some don't, but he had an interview not too long ago, and from the word go, that there was no trace of real serious masculinity there. So I wonder, what do you think, T? I mean, we've known of this individual like for what, a few years.
Okay, my thoughts on Antoine. First of all, I'm going to need to stop playing around with the black Hebrew Israelites because them people are crazy as hell, and they take that shit very, very seriously. But, I mean, on the real, if he converted to be a black Hebrew Israelite, that's cool. I mean, they're all about self and whatever else. But he says he's no longer gay, and people seem to be upset by this. I'm not upset. I mean, if I don't understand, like, okay, so Jason, is his name Jason Collins, a basketball player?
Yeah.
Okay, I had never heard of this man a day in my life. Didn't know he existed until he decided to come out the closet. I feel like, you know, I don't understand this whole coming out the closet and, you know, everybody needs to be in your business. At the end of the day, who you sleep with is your business. I don't care. And then it's like Obama was calling him and, you know, thanking him for coming out. Like, I just think people make too big a deal of people's sexualities. Now, we could barely get Obama to call about the children dying in Chicago. But you could pick up the phone and tell somebody, thank you for coming out the closet. Like, I don't know. It's just kind of weird to me. You know, I just feel like it's not a big deal. I have plenty of gay friends. You know, what you do in your bedroom is your business. Antoine Dobson doesn't want to be gay. Who cares? I mean, I know so many girls who were, you know, at one point in time, eating coochies and getting ate out and everything else, and they were lesbians and everything, and then they met some guy, and now they're settled down, and they're no longer really lesbians. You know, so I'm not saying that people can just switch off and on their sexuality. What I'm saying is that I don't give a fuck. Who you choose to screw, if you choose to be gay or straight, that is your business. You don't need to get on the platform and tell me, because I don't get on my soapbox and say, you know, hey, I like dick. That, you know what I mean? Like, I don't. You know what I mean? It's nobody's business. I don't even get a vote. I'm just saying it's nobody's business. I don't feel like, you know, there needs to be all these announcements and, you know, he felt the need to tell everybody he's not gay anymore. Okay, if you're deciding to change your mind, Antoine, that's your business. You know, but again, people are saying that, well, no, he's still gay. He's so effeminate, and maybe he is deciding to change. Just because you're choosing to change your sexuality and not sleep with men or not sleep with women doesn't mean you're going to necessarily change your personality or your mannerisms. That's what makes you you. You know, we all have our mannerisms. We all have the way we act. So at the end of the day, you know, sexual orientation and sexual preferences, to me it's just a preference. You know, if you want to be with somebody of the same sex or the opposite sex, that's just, to me, your preference. And if you choose to change your mind, so be it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's different. Maybe people are giving him the side eye because he's a man. But have you never met girls who are at one point in time lesbians or bisexual, and then they decide to just settle down and be straight? Because, I mean, I know quite a few girls like that.
Plenty. Dated a few. Had some quiet time with a few, but I mean, it's again.
I'm gonna need you not to be sleeping with multiple lesbians.
Now hold on.
It went back to being straight. Mother, don't put it on them. Make them come back to home game.
Hey, that's a whole nother show. The thing is, it's very hypocritical. A lot of times with this conversation, like when Jason Collins was celebrated for coming out. They made sure to try to publicly omit the fact that he was with a woman for 8 years. She was the last one to know, but then again, how you gonna miss those lavender thigh-high boots in a disco ball was bad. I mean, I'm just saying. But still, they started pushing this agenda saying it was like someone being born this way, or, you know, all they say there's a gene, and now it's like you can switch on, switch off. There's a whole lot of inconsistencies in it. And actually, not only aside from the racism that is still in that gay community, it's a lot easier for a woman who was lesbian to, you know, it's more subtle for her to come back than it is for a man to go on the
right.
Other side and come back. So,
yeah, it's
again,
definitely a double standard.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, it is. So it's kind of weird. And plus, my whole thing was like, okay, I get it. If you're who you sleep with, I could care less about. It doesn't really, you know, pay my bills, anything like that. But you got to understand, people want to ask questions. And I still wonder, how is it that you, at one point, you have to contract someone on the outside to give you what you need, which is maybe a child, or someone y'all has to sell out. So that kind of throws a lot of things in the trash to me.
VH1 actor said Jason Collins brother had a T-shirt on saying that he's the straight one. Let's see. Well, I guess it's identical. He's not trying to get mixed up. Devin was saying that too in the chat room. He was like, you know, how is he considered a hero for coming out when he let the women that he was with for 8 years to believe that he was a straight man? So, you know, I don't know. It's really confusing, but I do feel like it's a double standard. Because like you said, a woman can just decide out the blue that, hey, she doesn't want to be a lesbian anymore. She's not down with the whole lesbian lifestyle. She wants to get married and have children, and people don't bat eyelash, really. Because like I know numerous girls from high school who got down with other girls, and then now when I see them, they're Susie Homemaker, and, you know, and I have four kids. I'm like, you got four kids, girl? You was bumping, you know?
Yeah.
Back in the day, I'm like, you're not gay no more? No, I just, you know. I don't know if they found God or, you know, whatever it is. They just decide to go straight. And, you know, it doesn't seem to be a big deal, but when it's a man deciding that he wants to go straight, people are more, you know, not apt to believe him. You know, and
no.
Again, that's the same stigma, though, that we talked about on the sex show. When a girl's a lesbian, it's sexy and, everybody wants a threesome. But when a guy's gay, everybody's disgusted. And I'm like, well, so, you know...
Yeah, I mean, what is appealing about, you know, guys making, how cool is that?
Well, I mean, those are people's preferences, though. You know, it's whatever gets you off. You know, some people are just, it's whatever you're attracted to. To some people, I don't know, because like I said, I've talked to like a lot of my gay friends, and they all have a different story to tell. So I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm speaking for the voice of gay people or gay males, you know. One of my friends, he just strictly likes dick. Point blank, he's not looking for a relationship. He's not trying to settle down. That's what gets him off. He's had sex with girls. He does not like. He doesn't get off on females. Females don't turn him off. I can stand in front of him topless with some damn go-go boots on, and he'll be like, "TT, move."
Wow.
You know, so it's just that's just what people are attracted to. So I mean, regardless of, you know, how people get down. That's just what some people like at the end of the day. Everybody has their own preference. But then you have other people, you know, who really want to be in a committed relationship, who want to get married, who, you know, who want to find, you know, the boy of their dreams, and they're gay. You know, so you just got to respect people's space, you know, because one of my friends, they just legalized gay marriage in Minnesota, and, you know, he's like ecstatic. You know, he's really happy, and he wants me to come to the wedding, and I'm like, yo, you know, just let me know when and where. You know, I'm always support a real friend, regardless of the situation. And, you know, we talk about that, too. Like, I mean, I just talk to my friends about whatever. If I'm cool with you, I'm going to ask you some real personal shit. So if you get offended, we can't be friends. But, you know, my friends don't get offended like that because I'm just an honest person. They can ask me anything, too. And when I ask them, you know, certain things about, like, sex and what do they do in bed and how do they get down, they done told me some wild stories. I'm not going to repeat them here because, you know, they be children
Thank
and
you.
Stuff listening, but... No, I'm not gonna talk. But I mean, so it's just to each his own. You know, it's just to each his own is how I look at that. You know, but it's not for me to judge anybody. You know, because some straight people look at Mr. C. This man will not. You can't put up. You know, he will not come out the closet for nothing. He swears up and down he's straight. He just has a problem with prostitution. No, sir, you have a problem with hiring male prostitutes and transgender, you know, trannies or whatever. You know, so it's just another thing. Like I said, I don't care about the whole if you want to be gay, if you want to be open. My thing is, you know, just get a boyfriend. It's safer. Why are you out here picking up, you know, trannies and picking up, you know, gay men on the stroll trying to get topped off in a car, and you don't know what that person has, but you're still married. Like, he has a wife. So you're getting topped off by this man or woman. It doesn't matter if it's a man or woman. You're getting topped off by a prostitute, and then you're going home to sleep with your wife. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with the DL lifestyle. Now, I don't think it's the world's business what your sexuality is, but whoever you choose to have sex with, I think you need to be honest with them.
Well, that's the problem. No one wants to be genuinely honest with themselves nor each other. It's this thing where I got to live a lie, and people can believe this image that I'm throwing up here when I'm really being myself at 3 a.m. It's hard work to keep up a lie. Hard work. So, you know, with him getting caught for his third time, that's not accident. That's you. You got to have it. You gotta have that man meat. So if you hunting for meat, go and make it official. I mean, they got benefits. They're making more laws for homosexuals anyways. I mean, if you're going to do it, go hard, man. Go hard. Look, that's bad. But go do what you do.
Thank
and
you.
Be honest with yourself. I mean, just stop with the charades. If that's what you like, then do that. Otherwise, what are you doing?
You too old for that. You damn near 50. What did Biggie say? I know Biggie like, the hell?
Oh, man.
Like, what is turning over in the grave.
Like, what did his wife say on the first time? Now the third time? What can you say?
Obviously, she's there for the money. You know,
yeah.
Like I said, I mean, if you, the only person you have to be honest with is the person you're sleeping with. You know, if you still like to have sex with men and you're bisexual, that's fine. But give me that choice to say if I still want to be with you in that way. Don't be sleeping with me and then sleeping with Craig and them. That ain't cool. There's too much shit out here. You know, so I don't respect the DL lifestyle. I don't respect people who, you know, who basically creep on other people. I don't care if they're sleeping with another woman. Look at all these people getting their ass whooped on Worldstar Hip Hop. They're cheating on their girlfriends and everything else. It's like, you know, you got to be honest. There's too much shit out here. It's too much stuff out here. And I'm not about to allow you to be sleeping with me and then you sleeping with her and him and, you know, this person and that person. And it's just too much. And I just think that the only people that need to be honest are the people in that relationship. It's nobody else's business. It's not the world's business who chooses to come out, who doesn't choose to come out. It's whoever they're involved with sexually's business. And that's it. So now let me ask y'all, since we're on the gay topic. did y'all hear about the dude that outed Tyler Perry? He's a YouTuber.
Oh, wow.
And I've ran across his videos a few times. No, look, he outed Tyler Perry the other day, right? Do you know, within 48 hours, that man got jumped and sliced. He took 120 stitches to the face. Tyler Perry's goons whooped his ass. You hear about that?
I'm hearing about it now, but, that I mean, again, this whole story, just the response time alone says a whole lot to me. But,
well, Tyler came out with a response, and he said basically the past is in the past, and that's it. You know, and it's like people are so worried about trying to figure out if Tyler Perry is gay or straight, and it's just like, who cares? Either you like his movies or you don't like his movies. I could care less who he's messing with. Damn it, he's not messing with me. That's all I know. So, I mean, it is what it is. But, yeah, the dude, you know what, if I show you the link, I got to find him and put it in the chat room.
Please.
You've seen him before on YouTube because he's been making videos going in on black women sometimes. So I'm like, but he's always been honest about being gay, but to like, you know, to look at him, he's big.
Oh,
he might have the dude from the Green Mile. Michael Clark Duncan. No, no, not J Love. Hell no, Tyler Perry messing with J Love.
I don't know.
It's another dude. No, it's another dude. I've ran across his videos once or twice, but he's open, you know, but to first see him, you know, or, you know, you would just think he was just like a straight male or whatever, but then he came out and said that he was gay and all this other stuff. So I watched a few videos of his, but so he decided to talk about Tyler Perry, and Tyler Perry don't want his business out there. And again, it's really nobody's business, but somebody sent some goons at them. I gotta show y'all the picture. I'm gonna Google it real quick.
Man,
I'm trying to find the story. The story's crazy. Okay, so let me ask y'all this. Who finally watched Farrah Abrams' porn tape, Backdoor TMI?
Oh, man.
Did you get a chance to watch her porn tape? Because you know it's out.
I saw a snippet of it. I'm like, no. I had to stop.
When I tell you so many people were sending me the link on YouTube, I said, y'all must think I'm just a damn freak. People were like, here, TT, it's from YouPorn. And then YouPorn took it down. And I was like, it was over here on this site. Now it's over here on this site. Well, I finally watched it. That bitch is a no-hands champ. No, but for real, when I watched it, I was just like, I didn't know what to think at first. Thomas said that he downloaded a few hours ago. Farrah is trash. That's what VH1 Access is saying. She has a nerd to say she wants to be a role model to other teen moms.
Oh, she's a role
model. Ain't no way in hell. I'm going to tell y'all like this. Ain't no way in hell that's her first time doing anal.
No.
No way, no how. Did you watch the scene, Ronan?
I'm not going to get into that. This is not ESPN Sports Center. I will not provide commentary for this one, so I'm going to sit on the side on this one.
Well, I'm going to go in. And y'all who watch the porno who are in the chat room talking about it, let me tell y'all this. That was not that girl's first time doing anal. Hell no.
Like fish to water.
Oh, my God. I literally sat here, and I didn't know what I was going to, I didn't know what to expect. I really didn't. And hey, Thomas. Thomas just came into the chat room. Hey, Gola. I didn't know what to expect at first when people kept sending me the link. Like, you got to watch it. You got to watch it. Of course I'm going to watch it. As long as it's free, I watch. So, you know, like anybody with age, I watch. So it's a 70-minute tape, but they only got, like, 40 minutes online, and they got a few different breakdowns. They're just sitting in front of the limo with the dildo, and it's gross. But really, when I was sitting there watching her, you guys, I really got sad. Like, I'm not even trying to be funny. Like, it really made me sad looking at her. And I know everybody's going in on her, calling her a tramp and a hoe and a whore and everything in the chat room. But I felt bad watching it because I'm just like, what happened in this girl's life to make her feel like she needed to go this route? Like, even when they were having, and then for her to try and act like it was something that she was going to leak out and like they were in love, there was like no connection there. He was just beating it up. There was no love. There was no intimacy. He was just banging her out. So there's no way that she could have leaked that out and made it look like that was her boyfriend. Because just from looking at the tape, you could tell there was no connection there. But there was just a few scenes where she would look at the camera, and it was just, like, dead. Like, she had, like, no life in her eyes. You know, and it made me sad because I'm like, you know, this is a girl that was on Teen Mom. You know, she got on there when age 16, she got pregnant. She should have never been made famous, period. You know, her baby father was killed, so she's a single mother at that. She's a brat. She's rude to her parents. You know, everybody knows the whole spiel. But it really did. It made me sad watching that porno. It wasn't one of the pornos that I could watch and be like, damn, I could learn something. No, like it really made me sad. I was just like, this is sad that this girl felt like she had to go this route. And I know she feels like she's making money and she's able to take care of her daughter. But one day Sophia's going to Google and see her mom in that light. And I don't know. I just, it's not a good look.
I'm sorry, but I'm laughing because the way you said it was like, it's like pornos, like after school specials, and they're not. I mean, again, it's like, once they put themselves in the situation, most of them know what they're doing. Again, like, watching that, I'm not going to go into detail, but she ain't new to that. There's some other ones that don't do it either. You know, they just haven't put their tape out it yet either, but that ain't nothing new. That was just another Tuesday. But again, you can't really look at them as victims most of the times because there's a lot of them who have far more beneficial options, but they figure that I'm going to take the easy route. I'm going to do
the easy route, right. And I'm not saying she's a victim. Don't get me wrong, because like I said, I can't stand her. She's my least favorite teen mom. So she's definitely not a victim. She's of age. It's not like she's 17 with porn tape. She's a grown woman now. But I guess what bothered me is the fact that she felt the need to go that route. You know, even with she has way more than what the average teen mom has. She has a fan base. She made her little money off the MTV. She could have found other opportunities, and she's skinny as hell, you know, so she really could have stuck with her modeling that she was trying to do. But it's just sad that, like you said, she would rather take the easy way out and just do porn. Now, that's something like just a normal, average, you know, young girl might think to do because she has no other so-called alternatives. Or, you know, she doesn't know what else to do, or she's broke and it's something for quick money. But this girl did not have to do that. And that's the part that's sad. Like, yo, like, you didn't have to do that. Like, these kids just follow these celebrities blindly. She literally could have just came out with a cookbook on how to be as bony as she is right now, and people would have bought her cookbook just because Carl wrote a cookbook. You know, so it's just kind of crazy that she felt the need to go there, and it just says a lot about her parents, and then for her dad to be there, you know, co-signing that and going with her to the negotiations. I just find the whole thing disturbing.
But look at,
so, you know, after I watched the porno, I just kind of shook my head and sat there and quiet thought.
But look what she managed to accomplish. Look what she managed to accomplish. She got not only money, but she got attention, which is the new meth nowadays. Like, anyone, as long as I get, and she has fans, but a lot of them are in the wrong light. So, again, she painted herself in the box because, like, now, let's just say she decides she wants to do something different, positive. She's still going to have this porno hanging over her head. You know, so, you know, you got some who figure they're going to try to be the next Kim Kardashian, which she did that. Or,
right, that's what she did, right.
You're Montana Fishburne, which I'm not going to say anything about that. But still.
Whatever happened to her?
Who?
With some spots on her ass. Whatever happened to Montana Fishburne?
Oh, Cheetah Cheeks? I don't know.
Cheetah Cheeks, hell no.
I haven't even heard from her since then, but still, you figure most people like have that short-term planning. They figure like, well, I'm famous because of who I know or what I do or what I've been on, and then when they go this route, it is what it is. It doesn't work for everybody, you know.
Right.
There's very few who cross over from porn actually to mainstream, which is not that much different, but yeah.
The only one I can really think of is, like, Jenna Jameson.
Jenna Jameson,
that's,
I think,
really
one named Stormy Daniels, but, you know, still.
I never heard of her.
Don't worry about it.
This one actually was saying that he does not think her fame will last. G. Stewart was going off in the chat room. She's not thinking about her kids. She could have went to school and got an education. People were talking about her plastic surgery. And they're saying that her porno is the most watched porn, most downloaded, whatever. Like, she broke some type of record. But basically, she sold more of her porn and had more of her porn watched than Kim Kardashian. Have you watched Kim Kardashian's porno? Boring.
I wasn't satisfied with that one.
That was boring as hell. The only thing that was even decent was Ray J.
I hope that. Okay, well, you can be that critic, but still, that was a lame porno. I was dissatisfied. I was like, no, this gets 4 thumbs down.
It's a lot of crazy things that's going on right now, you know, and I think a lot of times, too, that, like you said, attention is a drug, and whatever people can do to get it, they're going to do that. So rather if it's releasing the porn tape, beating up their baby mama on World Star Hip Hop, you know, wilding out, so... You know, it's to the point now where people are going to do anything for attention. And it doesn't matter if it's negative or positive attention. I mean, it's crazy. Like, I was watching one of Little Mouse's videos. He just released a new video yesterday. And it was on World Star Hip Hop. And, you know, talking about the same shit. Smoking people and getting drunk and smoking. But you're 13. And then to see the adults in the video co-signing the nonsense is just crazy. And people were going in on him. And he came onto World Star Hip Hop and started cussing people out. How are you mad because people are telling you, dude, you need to stop rapping. You need to stop, you know, encouraging kids to kill other kids. You need to go back to school. You need to do the right thing. Like, people was, like, really going off on him, and he got mad, and he basically came on World Star Hip Hop and was like, oh, y'all just mad because I'm getting girls, I'm fucking what y'all doing. And I'm just like, these are the words of a 13-year-old. You know, so we get mad at the kids, but, again, look at the generation before them. The adults are no better role models for some of these kids.
Well, they're grown-ass kids trying to birth and, I guess, halfway raise kids. So what do you expect? You're going to see a lot of backwardsness because there's no sense of order or self-esteem or self-respect now. That, you know, people who have that, they look at them as dinosaurs now. So it's all about world.
Right. And everybody's saying in the chat, when the little mops and Chief Keith need to go away. Chief Keith just got hit with child support. That girl, he got pregnant, a 15-year-old. She's going to be getting $3,000 a month in child support from him. So he'll be broke. He'll be another one of the rappers who won't have no money. And then he just married a video vixen, or he's engaged to a video vixen. So he'll be broke in about 5 years. I ain't worried about Chief Keith.
Yeah. Who?
Now, G. Stewart is saying he wants to talk about Charles Ramsey.
Oh.
And I love Charles Ramsey. He's my hero. It's crazy because it's like they're trying to do anything to take shine away from the brother. You got the Latino man coming out saying that he's the one who discovered the girl first. Then you got the news people trying to pull up his background and say that he's a bad guy, he's a criminal, so why should he be given props? Why are people, you know, showing him any type of respect? What did you think about when they put out his criminal record out there?
I thought that was pretty weak, but still, they're trying to, like, downplay the fact that he did something that the police refused to do or didn't do. So, I mean, again, I still have mixed emotions about it because for some reason, I don't know why they stiff-arm the people who are articulate if I, you know, dude, it looked like the barber from Coming to America and just no teeth, can't pronounce shit, just, you know, I appreciate that, you know, what he did. You know, but when they gave him the interview, it was kind of like, it was brutal comedy. It was just brutal, but I don't know. I mean, it was, I just had mixed emotions on that one. As great as
the
thing
he
did.
But, you know, America likes those big personalities, too, though.
Yeah, just like that guy that was homeless, and he was able to, you know, get that, I think, news anchor job, and he ended up right back on the street again. I mean, like, everyone's looking for that next TMZ type character or fix. That's what it seems like.
Right, but I respect Charles Ramsey because he didn't ask to be famous. He didn't ask to get thrown into the spotlight. You know, he was the first one there who could speak English. You know, and the Mexican, I mean, he never took away from the, I don't know if the man's Mexican or Dominican, I'm sorry, but he never took away from the man and said that, you know, he wasn't there, he didn't help. He always said we, if you look at all his interviews. So he never, you know, it wasn't like he didn't acknowledge that there were other people there as well. But I think the Latino man, you know, was just kind of upset because it's like, okay, well, Charles is getting all this attention, but I'm the one who initially heard her screaming. And I do believe that the Latin man, I want to say he's Dominican from what I'm hearing. I do believe that he was there on the scene as well. You know, I do believe his story, the way he broke it down and everything. It's just that he didn't speak any English. And, you know, America loves somebody who's a big character on the news. Because look at Antoine Dobson. Look at Sweet Brown. You know, so America likes their characters. And when he came in and he said that comment, when he said, you know, when you see a pretty little white girl run into the arms of a big black man, you know something ain't right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they love them one-liners.
He was right.
So, you know, it's crazy. Right, but it was the truth. He's like, you know, something ain't right. But, I mean, it's just, it's so insane because I was sitting here watching everything that went on as far as, like, the whole situation, just catching up with it. And to know that the girl, I forget her name, her last name is De Jesus, she was best friends growing up with the man who kidnapped her, his daughter. You know, so, it, like I said, you never know people. People thought this man was a musician. They thought he was a good Christian man or whatever. And he literally had three women in his basement held captive for over 10 years. So you never know anyone deep down inside. His own brothers had no idea what was going on. He never allowed his family to go past the kitchen. You know, so the whole situation is just crazy. I'm just glad that those girls were found. I'm glad that they're alive, regardless if it was Charles Ramsey or the Dominican man who found them. You know, it's still a blessing because those girls went through hell. And so many people always say, you know, to people who are kidnapped and who are victims, you know, well, why didn't you just run? You know, you could just walk out the front door. But I think it's easy to judge when you're on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in a certain situation, your first thought is fight or flight, and you're trying to do anything to stay alive. Nobody wants to die, so they're trying to do whatever they can to, you know, keep their sanity and stay alive. And a lot of people feel like they just have to stay in that situation, especially when you get kidnapped at such a young age. How are you going to fight off that big man? You know, because a lot of people going in on Sean Hornbeck, I remember saying, well, you know, obviously he must have liked it. Why did he, you know, he could have left a long time ago. But like you said, I was kidnapped at 8 years old. You tried fighting a 160-pound man as an 8-year-old. You know, this person that has kidnapped you is not your parent. They're the one who clothes you, they feed you and everything else, and they're telling you all types of lies about your family, that your family doesn't want you, that your family's dead. So he did a lot of brainwashing to these victims. So all we can do is just pray for them, and, you know, they really need to get counseling, and I hope that they're able to get through everything that they went through, because I couldn't even imagine. But that just shows you how evil some people are in this world, that you can lock another human being down in the basement, and one of those women are your daughter's best friend. And they said he would be out there every year when they would do, like, the search for Ms. De Jesus. I forgot what her first name is. But when they would go out and do a search for her, he would be out there with the family crying, searching for her. How crazy is that?
Yeah.
And the whole time the girl's in his basement. That's some, if that ain't some evil shit, I don't know what is. That's creepy.
Yeah, G. Stewart is right about mind control, because that's what it is. I mean, if you got... I mean, how easy is it to throw someone off when you act like you're concerned and you're crying and, you know, people are, like, buying into that sympathy when really you're the individual doing it? So it says a whole lot about how evil this, you know, this world really is. Like, yeah, like Elizabeth Smart. It's a very evil world, sick world out here.
It's the truth. You know, Elizabeth Smart went through a lot, too, and a lot of people said that, too. Well, she was just up the street from her house. Why didn't she run? But, you know, when you're a little kid and somebody's telling that they will kill you, they will kill your family. They already kidnapped you. You know, a lot of us can't even fathom that, somebody literally kidnapping you and taking away from everything that you've ever known. Your family, your friends, your school, your whole world is changed in an instant second. And now they're telling you, if you leave, this is what I'm going to do to you. Of course you're going to believe them. You know, so I just think one thing I will say is that everybody listening, everybody in the chat room, we just need to be more vigilant. I'm very big on, like, you know, those abducted children's pictures. Like, when I go into Walmart, they have them listed. So I always stop and I look at them. I look at those pictures and I see if I recognize any of those kids, because you just never know. You know, sometimes you run across people in passing. You know, you just never know, because a lot of these victims are going to be too scared to speak out on their own or say, you know, I'm kidnapped, until something triggers in them to say something. Like, something made Amanda Berry just snap and say, what, you know what, this is enough, I'm out. It was something inside her that just made her just, you know, say, I'm done.
Yeah.
But that may not happen for years. So I think we all need to be vigilant as a community, and if there is somebody missing, if there is a kidnapped child, definitely spread the word. You know, I know social media is a really good thing, because now I'm starting to see a lot of people who will make postings of, like, kidnapped kids in the areas, and they'll post it on Facebook, they'll post it on Twitter, and I think that's the best thing, because if it was one of your loved ones or your kids, you would definitely want that help to be out there.
You know what I think it might be? Because, like, I've seen it with animals where someone that first started the animals with chains, you know, like elephants or something, like, really, like, powerful enough just to tear through anything. But then, like, they change the chains to actual rope, and actually they can go from the rope to a shoestring. So as long as that animal thinks there's no way of escaping or anything like that, that's how, you know, psychologically, once that mind is caught, body has to follow. Even if the opportunity to leave is there, you're thinking, like, this person will always find me. And that's why some people stay, because they figure, like, if I'm going to suffer, I might as well suffer on my terms, because if I leave, it's going to be worse. Even that person, like, there's a chance of that person not be able to, you know, repeat that situation again, like, when you're out of their, you know, the capture.
Mm-hmm.
That mindset thing. That's what it seems like to me.
Right. So you're right, it definitely has to be something. If you're able to control, like you said, a huge animal like that, and they're not tearing you up or trying, you know, the animal's not stampeding at you, it is some type of control. It definitely is. You know, the whole situation is just really unfortunate, but I really hope that, you know, those girls get the counseling that they need, and people are just more vigilant, you know, as far as people being out here getting hurt and things like that. And G Stewart is saying in the chat room that there's many more victims out there. And I believe that, too. I mean, I think sometimes it's easy for us to assume that if somebody gets kidnapped, they're automatically dead, or like within 24 hours, the kidnapper raped them and killed them. But a lot of times, like, this case has proven that's not really the case. A lot of these people are just held against their will, and they don't know what else to do. So, yeah, that whole situation is sickening. And I just think Charles Ramsey and the Latino man, they are definitely heroes. You know, and it was really good that they stepped out of themselves and they chose to get involved and they chose to, you know, get those women help and get them out of there. But you know what's going to be real crazy, and I'm curious to see how this plays out over the years, that little girl, the Amanda Berry's daughter that she had by the kidnapper, how is this child supposed to feel? Because this child is not 6 months. She's a six-year-old. So all she's ever known is her mom and dad. You know, that's all she's ever known really is that basement, is that house. So now for her to realize that her father, you know, who is biologically her father, how she was conceived, that's going to mess with her. That's going to really, really mess with her as she gets older.
Yeah,
you know, I definitely think they need to get her all types of counseling and everything else just to deal with that trauma from, you know, from that being her parents.
I'm sure on that. It's going to take a lot of that because some of the stuff that she sees that is abnormal, she's going to somewhat see as normal until, you know, reality hits her. So, yeah, they need to get a hold of her real quick.
That's the truth. Now, what did you think about that Jody Arias, or is that Jody Arias, whatever her name is, her being found guilty because she just knew she was going to get off because she's pretty.
Yeah, I seen that she felt that, you know, people are going to like me because I'm cute and I'm going to get off. But the way she killed that man, I mean, ain't no way. Ain't no way he's going to get off scot-free. And then when she found out she was convicted, she'd rather choose death. Because she already knew they was going to tear her a new one doing life. So...
But I just thought it was so arrogant of her. You just got sentenced, and within 5 minutes you're in front of the TV camera talking about what you want. I thought that was extremely arrogant, and I think that the jury should give her life in prison. So she wants the death penalty, don't give her what she wants. It's not your choice. They need
to give
her life in prison so she can sit and think about it.
Hey, E.T., I've seen this guy before. The dude that got...
Hey. Yeah, the dude that got cut by Tyler Perry's goon. I told you you would recognize him when I posted the picture.
Whoa.
That's the dude. I know you've seen him on YouTube because I've seen him on YouTube.
Wow. Proceed. That's just fucked up. But go ahead.
I told you you'd recognize him.
Wow.
And he's big. That's a big dude. They like really put a number on him.
Yeah.
He's a big. Ain't nothing small about him. He got to be at least 6'3", 250 pounds.
Gee, that's fucked up.
They cut his arms. They cut his face.
See,
that's crazy.
But why? I mean, again, like you asked yourself, why would they be allowed to go to that extent to prove what? Prove what?
They don't want him running his mouth.
Okay, but see, the thing is, like, okay, why would you send your goons out there if you're supposed to be proud of this? Or, because again, like seeing the movies, I'm like, how can you really not tell? But still, don't do shit that you're, if you're not proud of it, don't do it. Simple shit.
Right.
What is that chicken sound?
I don't know. I've been hearing that too. I've been wondering what that sound was.
It's your cricket phone.
No, that's your cricket phone. I got a spoon, baby.
Through cricket.
But no, yeah, Jody is sick. That's a sick chick. She has a lot of really, really, she has a lot of big issues. And I think the fact that she would kill that man in that manner and then try and play crazy, like, you know, twist it around like she was the victim. First, she didn't do it. And then she tried to blame it on some. Then these mysterious black guys, you know, were the ones who killed them. And then when that didn't pan out, okay, well, fine, I did kill him, but I was abused. You know, and I think this was a case of the justice system really working and not going out for the fact that she's pretty or that she's petite, really taking it seriously and saying, you know what, she committed a crime, she killed this man regardless of what he did, regardless if he didn't want to be with her, if he cheated on her, no one deserves to lose their life. It should never be that serious. So I was happy when they gave her, you know, when they found her guilty. She needed to be. She needs to be taken down a peg because she just knew she was going to walk off scot-free.
That's it. Anybody with that kind of mindset, being that arrogant, thinking like, oh, well, I'll just play crazy, which some have gotten off on doing that, but that was outright deliberate how she killed him. That was
right.
Outright deliberate. So, that, man, I mean, that was pretty, if that wasn't premeditated, I don't know what was. I really don't. But.
So now we're down to about 20 minutes left. This show's gone by so quick. So I wanted to get on the whole situation. VH1 just asked a question. He said, did you know about the campaign going on about the Boston bomber to set him free? I did not know about that.
I didn't know either.
I didn't hear about that. I know sometimes there's like a fan page of girls who are in love with him because he's cute. I heard about that, and I was just like, really? I'm going to need y'all to get y'all's lives.
I'm not even going to say anything about that. VH1
Access says that they're starting the campaign because so many teenage girls think he's too cute to be guilty. Aw, really? Well, you know what? At some point in time, Jeffrey Dahmer was cute, too. But guess what? They found ass in the refrigerator. Moving on. All killers are cute. Hell, Ted Bundy was cute. The hell, he still killed, what, 60 women and shit and dismembered their bodies? People are stupid. People will find anybody cute. And then, you know, so that means that he's not guilty. Now, y'all know I'm the biggest. I love my conspiracies. I would much rather hear them say that he's not guilty because there's a conspiracy and this, and that than to say he's not guilty because he's fine. Get your life. It's not about looks, people.
Can't tell them that, though.
Nope. Guess who the finest person is, though?
Who's that?
Guess. He's fine as May Wine.
If it's a dude,
fine.
I don't care. If it's a dude, I don't care. I don't care.
Okay, the fine man.
Oh, man.
Is the CEO of Abercrombie & Fitch.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Mike Jeffries, you know, because the way he was talking and going in on people, I mean, good guy. I just knew he was about to be fine as I don't know what. And then when I Googled his picture, I said, oh, hell no. That's the man talking about fat and ugly people can't wear his clothing? Ain't that the pot calling the damn kettle black? Sit your ass down. All that fat and just into your face and listen, you guys are there to diss fat people? Like somebody hit him with a stack of rocks.
Wait a minute. You got to have the
look. Don't worry, nasty, rude people like that.
Show the world how this dude looks. Cause like,
I'm going to post a link. A link of his face up close and personal. And he got the nerve to be saying that ugly people do not need to wear his clothing. Sir, you are not an Abercrombie & Fitch model yourself.
Once everybody has seen this, you feel free to call in the show and gather your thoughts on the Abercrombie & Fitch CEO and tell us how you really feel.
I was like, wow, I cannot believe that he's sitting here talking about other people and he looks like that man from, remember the Beauty and the Beast TV show back in the 80s? That kinky boy with the red hair. I don't know if that was his real face. I'm not trying to, you know, I don't know. I just remember that show used to scare me when I was like 6. But he needs to get his life. Y'all click that link.
This dude was like his face was like a stepped on bagel. That shit.
I mean, I don't understand the whole situation. And my thing is this, you know, like I always say, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. And I don't think that it's fair for anybody to just, I mean, like, okay, that's one thing. You can measure somebody's weight. You can be like, okay, well, you're too fat to work here. Now, you know, because it's clearly up to find you're fat. But how do you measure somebody's looks? What makes somebody beautiful? know what I'm saying? Is it because if you go from the black community with all our damn issues, you know, light skin, long hair, you know, fair skin, green eyes, you know what I mean? So what makes somebody beautiful? It's all in the eye of the beholder. You know, so it's like, I just feel, and then people are even telling me on YouTube that if you don't look a certain way, he won't hire you either. So he wants, like, really tall, pretty, thin, mainly white. They may get a black girl every now and then in the store, but they said if you are black, they prefer, you know, lighter-skinned black female, long hair, real exotic, you know, racially ambiguous type females is what they try and go after. So I just think that that's disgusting.
Wow.
You know, that you can sit here and throw a stone, and you look like the man from that damn 80s TV show.
He looks like the toxic.
He's going to get his life. He got fat injected into his lips, so they're not his natural lips. He got all types of cheek implants and everything. He needs to sit down. I'm thinking I'm about to see an Amber Crombie and Fitch model, because I'm not going to lie. Them damn Amber Crombie and Fitch model be cute. The girls be pretty, and the guys are adorable. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe he's just an older Amber Crombie and Fitch. No. He wouldn't hire himself to be in a campaign. He has another to be trying to diss people.
This dude look like Afterbirth.
Stupid.
I'm
gonna need him to get his life.
If I had some bad Taco Bell and shit it on the floor, covered it with sawdust, it would look better than this motherfucker right here.
It looks hideous. He just—I don't understand it. And then it's almost like, to me, it sounds like a kid. Like, it's almost like he wanted to be popular. He wanted to be part of the cool kids in high school, but he wasn't cool enough or sexy enough, whatever, and they didn't really fool with him. So he wants to get back at people by having these delusional thoughts that now somehow he's better than other people and somehow he looks so grand. When you can tell in high school, wasn't nobody checking for him.
He could have made more money with Trojan condoms. This is a virtual trophy.
He definitely has some issues. He has some straight up issues.
I see why your parents not fucking, for real. This is this is bad. How your parents are like mugshots.
Look, Rich one actually said he sounds like the type of dude who got shunned by other popular kids in high school. And I definitely agree with that. You know, there's something wrong there. Now, what do you think? Because a lot of people were disturbed, too, when I did the video about the whole Amber Crombie and Fitch thing. I had a dude email me, and he said, you know, that, I mean, and like I said in the video as well, they have the right to make their clothes for who they want. If they don't want to make their clothes for plus-size people, they don't have to. I mean, that's any company. Just like Lane Bryant doesn't have to make a size 4 so I can fit their clothes. You know, it's just up to that company. But somebody emailed me and said that they're more disturbed, not so much by his comment, but by the fact that the average size of an American woman is a size 14.
Huh?
They said that they're more disturbed, not by what he said, but by the fact that the average that they've seen on the news clip that I put in there, that the average size of an American woman is a size 14. They said they found that more disturbing than the man's comments.
Okay.
And I thought that was kind of superficial, you know, because we all come in different shapes and sizes.
And we do. But the thing is, like, that don't have shit to do with shit. I mean, again, you have people who are built different sizes or whatever. But when you're in business, it's not just your brand, but you represents your brand. A lot of times you sell people on you who buy into your product. So how is it that you're going to put in a brand that is supposed to have these damn near flawless individuals represented, and then you put your face on there and you are a complete contradiction to what you're putting out there? I mean, this
is... that was like Deborah Lee. That was my issue with Deborah Lee on BET when I finally saw her.
Yeah.
I was shocked as shit when I seen what Deborah Lee looked like. I said, really, that's Deborah Lee with her shitty shape and fucked up, you know, demeanor? I was like, wow, but you're the same woman who has perpetuated for the past, you know, for years on BET that girls need to look like video vixens. you promote the nonsense and you approve the shows and you approve the videos and everything else, and you got girls out here with low self-esteem, women out here getting butt injections, getting breast implants, trying to look like video vixens, and then you see the head owner of BET, and she looked like a bag of potatoes.
I was like, really? She looked
like,
a
brand that you're promoting.
She looked like a sea bag full of cinder blocks and bricks. Just, she was built bad. I could have, and I draw. If I was pissy drunk, I could have drawn something better than when she was built. Much better.
Man, I was shocked when I seen that because I just really thought, like, okay, with all the stuff they promote, I'm about to see this badass, you know, BET owner. And they're like, welcome, Deborah Lee. I said, pause, that's Deborah Lee. Everybody went in on her on Facebook. Oh, we had jokes for an hour.
Because
I had never seen up until this point. I was like, wow, that's crazy.
She bad,
BET
right.
Network. But she heard it, though. I mean, how can you promote something, you know, like the man said in the Abercrombie and Fitch, you know, he wants the cool kids and the all-American and the popular kids and, you know, any pretty people, thin people. And then you look at him and it's like, well, damn, you wouldn't, you know, be accepted by your own brand. I mean, that's crazy. You know, what happened to instilling into our children, like I said in the video, you know, that all that stuff to me is superficial anyway. So what about instilling, like, you know, you want good people, people who care, people who are willing to help their fellow man, people who are willing to do the right thing, people who have good characters. You know, so it's kind of sad that it's more about looks than anything in our country. And he's not the only one. I can't even get mad at him because you think about it, you know, Victoria's Secret, The Limited, you know, all these companies. You don't see, like I was posting on Facebook the other day, even in McDonald's commercials, you don't see big people in McDonald's commercials. They have slim, pretty people. But when I go to McDonald's, it's a whole other story.
Same thing with Walmart.
You know,
you
so they sell you a fantasy.
You see supposedly normal people in Walmart, but you go in Walmart for yourself, just like that picture I had, that chick had that onesie, a grown-ass woman walking around with a purple, yeah, that purple onesie. You don't see that shit on the commercial. You don't see that crazy dude yelling at the TV out or them little baby kids throwing food and shit. You don't see that. False advertising.
You know, and it would be nice to have, like, you know, a company promote real people and things that kind of reiterate how it is in the real world. But it seems like everybody wants to live in a fantasy world. Because even like I was saying, when you think about when they say, oh, we have plus sizes, and, oh, such and such is a plus size model. And then you look at her and she's a size 10. You're not fat and you're a size 10. You're thick, but you're not fat. Size 10 is healthy, you know what I'm saying? But they consider that plus size. You know, so it's crazy. You know, we wonder why these girls have issues with their bodies and everything else. I mean, it definitely takes a toll on you, especially, you know, as a woman, you know, when you're being bombarded with all these images and stuff like that. But you definitely can't take it, you know, to heart, because a lot of people who are pushing that agenda, they don't look like the stuff that they're pushing. And a lot of the models that you see, they only look like that after, you know, the glam squad is in there, the makeup team, the hair team, and everything else. You know, so it's amazing what makeup and hair can do to a model who's like 110 pounds.
Well, you think about it, like, even when you meet these people in person, like, I've seen Cat Williams, and I love him as a comedian, you know, dude short. I've seen other people who supposedly been tall on movies and everything like that, but then you see, like, damn, this person ain't even up to my chest level.
Why are we in exhibit? We've been saying that to the hell?
Yeah.
Exhibit is short. I mean, I'm pretty tall, but I was just like, sir, you are 5'5"? Exhibit is very short. I met him back in the day. Yeah. Little flip, short as hell. A lot of these rappers are short. The only dudes I can say that are tall that I've met are, like, being, you know, of course, NBA players. Like, they're tall. But, like, most of the rappers and stuff that I've met or, you know, celebrities I ran across, they're not tall at all.
Like some are like your little brother.
Lil Wayne is short. Lil Wayne is like 5'7". Me and Lil Wayne are damn near the same height.
He's short.
T.I. is short as hell. Tiny is short as hell. You can tell Tiny short. But yeah, you know, they try and sell an image, and that's all that is. And it's just up to you as if you're going to buy it or not. And I feel like with the whole Abercrombie and Fitch situation, you know, it's on that individual. I don't think, like I said, that plus size women need to get mad or get offended. Just take your money elsewhere. Because you ain't got to tell me but one time that you don't want my money. I'm out. Just like when I walk into a store, like you know how you walk into like a little mom and pop store, and you know you can tell when somebody wants your money and they give you good customer service and you know, hi, how you doing? How can I help you? Okay, cool, I feel comfortable here. But if I walk into your store and you got a scowl on your face and you're looking at me like, hurry up and buy, hurry up and buy, I'm going to walk out. You ain't got to get my money. You're not about to, you know, look at me crazy and look at me cockeyed. You know, you're not trying to help me with nothing. I'm looking around. I've never been in the store. As soon as I even feel that vibe, I walk right out. I work too hard for my money to just, you know, spend it with just any and everybody. So if somebody doesn't want to make sizes that fit you or somebody feels like, you know, you're not attractive enough for their clothes or you're not small enough for their clothes, take your business elsewhere. That's how you hurt somebody. You hurt them in their pockets. Point blank.
Or the thing is, like, you can do what some others have done. You know, engineer your own style, you know, because there's people
right.
who they have your build or, you know, because again, like everyone's built a certain way in different ways. Some have similar builds, some don't. So again, there's women who, what some people would say are thick, but can't figure, you know, they can't fit into so-called regular size jeans. So they had a brand made out of that. Or you had like a Lane Bryant, you know, they make women's, you know, plus size women's clothes, but some women don't even fit those, so there has to be something, you know, that you can cater to that demographic. I mean, it's, the money's out there to be made. Again, like,
wow.
You're all right, you know, hit them with their pockets, because after seeing that picture, you should never, like, want to take that brand serious, Abercrombie & Fitch, like, wait a minute.
Right. I'm really shocked. When I Googled him, I was like, my mouth was literally open, because I just thought I was about to see this fine, sexy, older Abercrombie & Fitch model. And when I seen him, I was like, really? You look very basic, sir. You look very basic. And you got the nerve to be trying to sit here and throw stones? That's crazy.
Oh, Frankenstein face.
But one of my subscribers is telling me, she was saying that a lot of the plus-size stores that cater to plus-size women, she said her complaint, because she's a plus-size girl, and her complaint is, like, a lot of them, they don't have, like, enough trendy, you know, outfits for, like, you know, for younger, you know, women. You know, not all just because you're plus size, you don't want to dress like a school teacher. You need to want to be sexy and wear a little cute stuff. And she was saying that a lot of the prices are really outrageous, too, for, like, the plus size clothing. You know, you might go in and get, like, a shirt or, like, a cute little dress or something that will cost, you know, $50-$60. And I think part of that's because it's more material. But I think, too, like, people should really look at, you know, if you're starting a clothing line, you know, making one affordable but still, you know, hip and chic for plus-size women. I think that would be hot. You know, because there's definitely
work.
A market out there.
It could work. You know, so, again, like, if they're not giving what you feel that you need, there's that avenue to start something new or even create a buzz for something to come out because, you know, a lot of times we say, like, Lane Bryant, like, they make basic stuff for a woman of plus-size. You know, they figure, like, okay, they're talking about overpricing things due to fabric, but still, you can add some style to it, you know. Some women
right, don't
that.
Just give me a big black dress. I like neon print, you know. Like, make stuff, you know, that's nice. Yeah, you know, just like, you know, just sexy stuff. But, again, just wear something that flatters you, and I think at the end of the day, it's just about confidence. Because I've been seeing a lot of plus size on the rocks and stuff and make it look bad as hell, and they don't shut down, you know, tons of skinny bitches. So I think it's all about your confidence and how you carry yourself. I don't care how small you are. There's certain shit I'm small, and there's certain shit I won't wear. I don't feel comfortable in it. And people be like, but you're skinny. I don't give a damn. I don't feel comfortable in damn bikinis. I don't, you know, there's just certain things I don't feel comfortable in. You know, I mean, to each his own, but, you know, I just, you know, I have my issues and shit too, so I'm a woman like anybody else. So I think at the end of the day, it doesn't matter even if you're thin, you have to find something that flatters your shape and that is well fitting, you know. So that's the main thing. And G Stewart is saying that, Thomas is saying too, that you'd make a lot of money if your brand caters to the needs of the people. G Stewart is saying blacks put too much time and attention into name brand clothes. I don't see where anybody would benefit from it. And I agree, you know, the name brand clothing thing, it gets old. Like, I was into all that crap in, like, you know, high school and, you know, I don't know, so I was, like, maybe 21, 22, and Baby Fat and Rock Aware and Air Apostle and all that other BS. Now, I'm, shit, give me a $6 shirt and some $5 leggings, And I will put on some badass heels and make that outfit look like $100.
But yeah, that's
the
thing.
I'm not spending that much money.
That's the thing. You make the clothing, not the clothing make you. Now, I will agree with what you're saying. Put out there, some people should not squeeze into stuff that is not right for them, because I'm still against Precious in a cat suit. That you's just not going to make it sexy on any level. Just not.
She had on the cat suit. When?
I'm just saying, for example, don't ever.
I was about to say, what cat suit she had on? I didn't see that picture.
No, because that would have left cracks on my smartphone. I'm cool. No. No.
You are so messy. So you're basically saying, like Sandy's saying, like people should find things that flatter their shape. And I agree, you know, regardless of what your shape is, you know. Sometimes too much is too much.
Sometimes too little is too much. So you need to be careful. Be very
careful. You know, like I mean, skinny girls too. Sometimes I go to the club, I'm like, what the fuck did y'all want? I mean, I understand you got a nice shape, you can wear it, but does your dress really need to stop right there where I can see your ass cheeks? Like, you know, just because you can wear it doesn't mean that you need to wear it. And that's one thing I had to learn over the years, you know what I'm saying? Because sometimes you think just because you're thin and you can wear certain things, well, it fits, it's a size, you know, 5 or whatever, I can fit. Well, no, you're also extremely top heavy, so it just looks, you know, too much. You got to go up a few sizes, you know, like instead of like trying to rock a small, you need to go up and wear a large, you know. So you just got to really find stuff that just fits your body frame.
I mean, you have to step outside of yourself and see how you present yourself. Because there's far too many women that's not even in the club, they'll wear a dress, and you can see her tonsils from the bottom up, and she think that's cute.
Not from the bottom up.
Yeah, it's like, wow, you know, some healthy lungs from down here. Just... You know, sexy is, it's without effort or much effort. It's natural. If you got to force it, it's not sexy. It's desperation.
And on that note, we're down to 2 minutes. That was Ronan's positive quote of the night. So we're down to the last 2 minutes. We definitely had a really, really good show tonight. Thank you for everybody who came to the chat room and joined in the conversation. And thank you for everybody who listened in. I see a lot of people who stayed on hold and listened in to the conversation. So, I mean, it's just a lot of news that's going on, and y'all got to stay tuned. I'm going to be making some more videos probably tomorrow. But there's a lot of crazy stuff that's going on. You know, so it's always something. But I also feel like the news media needs to get off of the whole Abercrombie and Fitch thing now. It's starting to get old, too.
It's a slow news cycle. They're desperate for the next fix. It's no longer credible news, because now you have to go back to BBC and actually get news what's going on here outside of the country. Now it's like TMZ extended. That's all they see.
Right. It's like these news organizations are nothing but the blogs. It's kind of sad now. Because I'm just like, I was trying to, you know, flip through the channels the other day, and it's just like, you know, everything from CNN to Fox, you know, it's just like this nonsense on the news, just stuff that's just so irrelevant. I'm like, turn off the TV, let me go online. I find more information online than I ever do watching the news, and that's just the truth.
Sad but true. Yeah.
All right, so we're down to our last minute. Thank you, everybody, for coming to the show. We're going to do it again next Wednesday. We have to switch it to Thursday because I had a lot of things I had to do yesterday. But we'll be back next Wednesday. We're also going to be doing our gift card giveaway soon. I think we'll do it via Blog Talk Radio. It's going to be around the second week of June. We're waiting for payday. So we get paid, we're going to look at y'all's gift cards, and we're going to do another giveaway. So make sure y'all stay tuned. I'll send another reminder via YouTube. And it's going to be some really, really interesting questions. And it's really going to be for the people who have always supported us on Blog Talk Radio and on YouTube. So definitely stay tuned, you guys.
And we will ask for ID, too.
We're carding. All right, so we will talk to you guys later. Join us again next Wednesday. Bye, y'all.
Peace.